This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. Judging from the list of celebrities and media figures, sexual harassment and misconduct seem like an epidemic. There's Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, John Hockenberry, congressmen like John Conyers and Joe Barton, and now key players at the Dallas Museum of Art and the Dallas Theater Center. For this week's Friday Conversation, we'll look at whether these headlines are producing fundamental change. Joanna Grossman is a law professor at SMU, and she specializes in sex discrimination and workplace equality. Joanna Grossman, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I'm curious. Garrison Keillor and John Hockenberry were allowed to retire from their public radio shows. The Dallas Theater Center initially announced that Lee Troll was leaving at the end of the season and then subsequently fired him. Why do so many companies allow harassers to leave on their own terms?
Well, it depends a little bit on what they're trying to accomplish, right? So these very high-profile cases, what those employers are responding to is a little bit public opinion, public response, maybe advertisers, stockholders. So It depends on who your constituency and what who you're trying to please with the action that you take. Matt Lauer, he's not really at retirement age, and the allegations against him, if true, and NBC thought they were credible, are so severe that I don't think people would have been happy if they had just said, well, Matt's going to retire and he's going to have a nice severance package that keeps him rich for a long time. So I think it's a tough calculus based on your particular marketplace and the nature of the harassment.
And I'm also wondering about the language used. There's a pretty significant difference between inappropriate behavior and, you know, sexual harassment or sexual misconduct.
I think the risk of the language is that we're sort of losing sight of the spectrum. One of my real beefs with the way these scandals are playing out is the standard apology. All of these men, including Matt Lauer most recently, the standard apology is, if I knew then what I know now, I never would have done this.
Right. What,
in fact, they're referring to accusations of rape, real sexual imposition, physical sexual imposition. And it's completely untenable to suggest that 10 years ago, he didn't know that was wrong, but now he understands it is. And in fact, when we study people and how they perceive different kinds of inappropriate sexual conduct, everyone is very good at identifying things on the severe end of the spectrum, men, women, people in all kinds of workplaces. And so a lot of the allegations fit in that category, and yet men get away with this standard apology in which they say, oh, I'm really going to work on myself to try to understand better how not to upset people at work. And the blurring then is that we think, oh, well, now, you know, you can't do anything at work.
Right.
And in fact, really what we're talking about is pretty severe conduct.
How does the law sync up with reality on this? I mean, a lot of men have been fired or forced out before any legal action was taken.
The problem with sexual harassment law is the fight is all about employer liability, right? It's not about who did what.
Right.
At some point, it's about whether the employer is at fault or responsible for harassment that did occur. Although the legal standards are pretty robust, the law does not require you to be good at fixing harassment. What the law ends up requiring is that you take some cosmetic measures to prevent or respond to harassment. So if you don't have a policy at all, you might not be in a position to minimize or avoid liability. However, if you have a policy and you have a grievance procedure and you do really bad investigations that almost never get at the truth and don't punish harassers, you're not going to pay for that in court.
One of the primary ways that companies respond in situations like this is to institute sexual harassment training or some kind of anti-harassment training. Does that work?
What we know about sexual harassment training is it, at the margins at least, has the possibility of helping. So, and I put a lot of qualifiers in there, right? So standing alone, it doesn't fix the problem. But, for example, workplaces that have a policy and a grievance procedure and training will tend to have slightly less harassment than ones with only a policy and a procedure. So there is some sort of training effect there. Everybody already knows you're not supposed to rape people at work. You're not supposed to involuntarily, you know, cause unwelcome touching. But maybe people don't understand that asking someone out four times when you've been told no and then sending them threatening emails, maybe they don't fully appreciate that that is also on the spectrum. If you really have somebody who is behaving in the way that lots of these men have been behaving, you know, really committing very egregious types of misconduct, training's certainly not going to help them. So what it might help is solidify for victims what to do about it.
Right. There is this thread that runs through all these ousters. One, they're men. Two, they have power and in a lot of cases, a sense of impunity, a sense that they can't be touched. Can that change?
All you can do is change what you do about it. Institutions set culture. And we do know from research on harassment that different employers, different institutions do have different levels of harassment, and a lot of it comes from messaging at the top. What ties these scandals together is that often the person doing the harassing was the single most important person in the place. So in those cultures, of course, harassment's going to proliferate if the person who's doing it is the person who has all of the power. But even where that's not the case, the people at the top set the tone, and tones get set in a lot of different ways. It's not just having a policy. It's not just offering mandatory training that people attend and resent. It's about a constant cultural message that says, you know, we don't tolerate this. We actually want to promote talent. We want egalitarian practices. So I don't think you're going to change who's doing the harassing and who's being victimized. You might be able to change what gets done about it if the institutions are really committed to change.
Do you see signs that there's any kind of fundamental change going on here? I mean, is this just a Me Too moment, or, you know, are we at an inflection point?
The burden is going to be on the institutions. And by the institutions, I mean both individual employers and sectors, right? Hollywood, state houses, Congress. People have to feel the pressure to change the way we have always done business. The only thing that's new that's happening right now is that people are getting fired for being harassers. The harassment's not new.
Joanna Grossman, SMU law professor, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.